Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and begin in verse 1. We'll read the first three verses of Scripture for our text tonight. If you want to, you can stand as we read the Scripture. Thank God for His Word. Amen. The Word of God is what we need. And I appreciate the good singing. That prepares our heart and touches our heart and blesses our heart. And sometimes, you know, God moves in the song service and turns into an altar call service. And God does the preaching. We always want to make sure that we just follow God in the service. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, begin verse 1, the Bible says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for the time you've given us. Lord, I pray, God, that you just bless us for your glory this morning or this evening. Thank you, Lord, for what you did this morning. God, I pray you'd move in a special way tonight in the service. Give us exactly what we need, Lord. Thank you, God, for the good singing. And Lord, how it blessed our heart. And thank you, God, for those, Lord, that participate in the service, Lord. And I pray, God, that you just bless now in the most important part of the service. You bless your word. God, use us for your glory. God, I pray you just do that needs to be done, Lord. If there's one that needs to draw close to you or one that's unsure of their salvation, Lord, I pray they get things right tonight. And all that's done, we'll thank you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Maybe a familiar passage of Scripture, at least this thought here tonight. You may have heard of, read over this many times and thought about what the Scripture tells us about here, really being living epistles. That's our title for tonight, living epistles. And somebody didn't understand exactly what the word epistle means. I remember hearing about a small child, and one time we shared for a good while some different little Sunday school funnies, if you will, some different things that you hear happening, saying. Somebody said the little child spoke up and said they knew what an epistle was. An epistle was a wife of an apostle. But that's not exactly it, though, is it? But an epistle speaks of a letter. Amen. A letter, really. I mean, that's just the plainest definition you can give of an epistle is a letter. You know, this is a letter, like we mentioned this morning, two different letters we happen to have in the Bible that were written to the church at Corinth. I believe that there was an existence, another one, to the church of Corinth. There's existence some different ones, but these are the ones that the Holy Spirit of God allowed to be in the canon of God's Word. There were other letters written. There were other epistles written. But ain't it something that we're reading, first of all, a letter that was directed to a church. And that's the reason we call these, beginning in the book of Romans, the church epistles. And you can find clear church doctrine in the church epistles. Amen. And that's just a thought there, extra, if you will, as you study God's Word. But this is the second letter written to the church at Corinth. But he makes the application here to point out that not only am I sending you a letter, the church at Corinth, he's wrote down this letter to send them. He sent this to commend them and to help them. And, you know, when they're doing some things right, he wants to commend them for that. And then, I was about to get those two words mixed up, sometimes he needed to condemn them for some things, basically. He had to reprimand them for some things, you know, rebuke and reprove, the Bible says. But also it says to exhort. And so there were some things that he commended them for, some things he could lift them up about and say, you continue in this. And so this letter was written to help them. And, you know, but also he makes the application that the church, God's people, are like an epistle. They are like a letter that's being read to others. A letter contains And I've seen this definition somewhere, I thought about it. A letter contains the revelation of one's thoughts and feelings to another. Paul had some things to express to the church at Corinth. We could look at other letters we wrote to the church at Rome. We could look at these different epistles and see where that he sent a letter to them and he revealed his thoughts and his feelings toward them. And even further than that, this was by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to God, and it's in the Word of God. So he gave them exactly what they needed to hear and gave us exactly what we need to hear in these letters in the Bible. God has done that in many different ways. You know, I think about, if you would think about creation itself, it's kind of like a letter to the, an open letter, if you will, to the world. An open letter to the world that can be read at any time, at any moment. Amen. My wife, she happens to be down at the coast right now. Just called me a little bit ago, and the winds were blowing. The waves had blowed winds across the cell phone. But anyhow, you know, I remember the first time she's seen the ocean. You see, she's from West Virginia. I can pick on her real good. She's not here. You want to pause the recording for a while? But anyhow, she's in West Virginia, and they don't have no ocean up there in West Virginia. And she hadn't seen no ocean before. The first time I ever took her to see the ocean was at Carolina Beach. And we had a room in Wilmington's what we'd had. And so we wasn't going to stay right on the coastline there. But we came out and she could see the ocean there. The first time she seen it, we went across to near the little pond there in Carolina Beach, and you come across and you can see the ocean. And the first time she seen it, man, and every time I see it, I think about, man, look at all of that water. I mean, it looks like a huge hill there. You're standing there on the beach, it looks like a huge hill of water. It's just water everywhere, as far as you can see. And if you have the opportunity to go out on an ocean liner and get out there, I remember one time coming down from somewhere, New Jersey, coming down from New Jersey, and you can go across, and there's one place you drive down in inside this tunnel, and you're actually under the water, and you come back up, and you end up in Virginia, I guess it is, from Delaware or somewhere, I don't know, but anyhow, that long bridge, you're just out there, and that's all you can see. Every direction is water. That's all you can see. And then you think about going up to the mountains. Hey, man, it's a good vacation message. Everybody needs to hear this before you go vacation. And whether you're up and down, amen, you Christians up and down, you know. And you go up out of the mountains, you can see the majesty of God, you see. You can see the handiwork of God. You can see a letter, if you will, from God saying, look what I've done, amen. Amen. Now, we can't brag about nothing, but the Lord can, can't he? Look what I've done. Look at my handiwork, what I've created. I've given you, praise God, a letter, amen, a letter of creation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. We're going to get to the message here in a little bit. This is just the introduction, so you hang on. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him. There's some things that folks don't see about God, but yet God has revealed himself in some things. He said the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's where we are. God and his handiwork has put it all together, and it's just without any excuse, man can see the letter of God and the expression of God in his creation. Think about that. I said a letter is a revelation of one's thoughts and feelings toward another. Bible says he spanned the world in his hands. Bible said he hollowed out, or he weighed the waters in his hands. And he said, boy, there's enough for the Atlantic Ocean. There's enough for the Pacific Ocean. Amen? I mean, he sat and molded the mountains and made all of the hills and made all of the valleys and made everything such as it was, and allowed it to be changed and created as he chose in himself. I think the biggest, and I mean, it's a real study here to think about it, but you know, the biggest change there ever was on the face of this earth up until now is because of the judgment hand of God. at the day in the days of the flood. In the days of the flood. And there's coming another change. This time it's not going to be by water. This time it's going to be by fire. Amen? But hey, it's something. God, with His handiwork, it shows not only that, but God has given us a letter in His providence. He's given us a letter in His providence. I think about what Mordecai said as he talked to Esther. And he told her about, this may be the only opportunity that's given for you to arise here. In fact, let me give you this verse in Esther 4:14. It says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement," there's another place the word enlargement's found, "enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." He said, God may have, somehow or another, God's going to keep His remnant of His people. But it might be, look what he went on to say. He said, "And who knoweth whether thou art come," talking to Esther, "to the kingdom for such a time as this." God speaks to us in His providence. God speaks to us in, people talks about accidents. There's really no accident with God. Amen. There's no happenstance with God. Amen. I mean, I like what Harold B. Seitler said many years ago. Maybe somebody said it for him, but I remember him saying, he always said, "Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Nothing ever catches Him by surprise." So in God's plan and in God's providence, sometimes that's a letter to us that God's trying to speak to us. I wonder if He doesn't say every once in a while, "Hey, wake up. Why don't you hear Me speaking? Why don't you hear Me talking in your life and in the circumstances of your life? Why don't you read the letter?"
Amen.
Amen. Read the letter that God's trying to give us. But listen, I've got to go on. That's not what the message is about. The message is about a letter from to the church, or from the church, if you will. A letter to others from the church. Think about it. God has chose, in this case, to allow a letter to be given to the world, but He's chose it to be written on your heart and on your heart, on every person that's saved. He's chose for it to be written and placed there in the heart of God's people. Every Christian is like another paragraph to the letter that the world begins to read. Every Christian is another paragraph, another section of the letter that the church, that's coming from the church to the world. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which were before ordained that you should walk in them. God, in His plan, He is able to produce something in your life. He is able, if you'll just turn it over to Him, He wants to produce something in your life. That's another paragraph to the story that of the old-time salvation, old-time religion, and the glory of God and the miracle of God and the workmanship of God created in us unto good works. He said, let me write another good paragraph with your life. Let me write another good paragraph with your life. Think about it. Is God writing a letter being written, praise God, as we are the epistles of God that's pointing folks to Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple things about a letter, if you will, and think about applying it as a letter from the church to the world. First of all, let me say a letter is written on prepared paper. Letters written upon prepared paper. Many times, and maybe some of the luster of some of this is fading away in the nowadays in the age of text messaging and those things and emails and stuff and all those things that people do. I remember one preacher was talking about text messaging and emailing and lettering and this and this and that and the other, and he said, if you'll contact me, you'll have to it'll have to be by letter. It'll have to be the what they call snail mail now, because he said, I don't do the email and I don't do the text messaging. But anyhow, I mean, you think about the time that's put into sometimes years ago writing a letter. And can you imagine taking the quill and putting it down in the ink and writing on a piece of parchment, you know, writing down a letter by hand. And I mean, you know, the choreographers and all the different ones, and I mean, you know, they have that pretty handwriting and everything. That's one thing I ain't never had. And some of y'all know that. I mean, we start to put together some kind of a little, amen. You've seen my handwriting, ain't you, brother? I get two or three amens out of Todd now. But anyhow, we put together some kind of a recognition letter to somebody. I'll try to find some of these ladies to put some real pretty handwriting on it and make it look pretty. I'll just scribble my name down there on the line. That's all, you know. But some people can have some real pretty handwriting, some real beautiful handwriting. And it looks pretty on that paper and on the background of that paper and everything. But you think about it, the Lord is telling us here about our lives being like a letter that's written, like an epistle that's written to this world. Well, the paper needs to be prepared. It needs to be right for the letter to look right and to be legible, if you will. Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, it says, "A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh." Man, that'd be rough writing on a bunch of stone, wouldn't it? I mean, you have to carve it in there, and you couldn't make the real pretty letters and everything. It wouldn't be a real pretty. It'd be a scribble upon a stone. But God says, I'm a changing that. I'm taking that stony heart out. He said, I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my commandments and do them. And then in Jeremiah 31 and 33, it says, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make to the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law within their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." So I'm going to put this in their heart. This is going to be written in their heart, and their heart is going to be prepared to express the truth of God, to express, hey, it's something that God, and I preached a message one time before about there's some things that God has entrusted to us. God has left it to us. He hasn't chosen this day and time to proclaim a message across the skies by the angels in heaven. He hasn't chosen in this day and time to speak through prophets and speak through apostles, but He's chose for His message to be given out by the church. He's chose for His message to be given out by God's people. Is the paper prepared? Is the paper prepared? Is the parchment prepared for God to speak through you and to say something through your life, to add a paragraph to what the church is saying? Is the paper prepared? Like we said this morning, that'd be a good preparation for us to dedicate our life and make that determination and go in that direction God would have us to do. And then our hearts would be prepared for that paragraph to be written for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then second of all, let me say a letter bears the expression of the writer. A letter bears the expression of the writer. Sometimes even as you read through scriptures, you can see, and that's not only the reason that sometimes I said this morning, Paul wrote 14 books of the New Testament. And I think it's clear to see as you read through Hebrews, and there's some question that's been that's arisen from time to time whether he was actually the writer of Hebrews. It's not signed and signatured by him, but yet as you read along through Hebrews, it sounds like Paul writing to the church. It sounds like Paul in his other writings and the other letters that he wrote, because there's an expression of Paul that's found in that letter. But you think about the Lord speaking through us. Well, He ought to be able to speak through us. And if we're in line with the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be saying the right things. Amen. As mentioned in prayer in the prayer room earlier, you know, we ought to be thinking about what we're saying to others and what we're expressing to other people. And we may do something that'll offend them. We may do something, maybe even unintentionally, to offend them. Now, I mean, if the gospel and the truth of the Word of God offends them, so be it. They have to deal with God about that. But I'm talking about some of these things that really don't matter. And some of these things that really you don't have no scripture for. You better be careful about something you don't have scripture for. Stay in the book. Amen. Stay in the Word of God. Because then it's not your opinion. It's what thus saith the Word of God. And thanks be to God, you do that. Then and only then can the expression of the writer come through in our life. The Lord's the writer. The Lord's the one that's putting this epistle together. The Lord is the one that's writing on your heart that it can be read to all men, that it can be read of what God is doing in your life. They ought to see, hey, they ought to see Jesus in our lives, shouldn't they? They ought to see that the Lord's the one that's writing the story of my life. Amen? Bible says in John 17, verse 8, "And I give unto them the words which thou hast given unto me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Praise be to God. You can see that the Lord says the word, the expression, the truths of Scripture is given through us. There was somebody looking at one of my scriptures there on my car the other day. A young boy actually was looking at one of the scriptures, and unto God, I guess he had never seen the word thy. T-H-Y. He had never seen that word. He didn't know how to pronounce it. He had never seen it before. Over there in Amos it says, "Prepare to meet thy God." He'd never seen it before. I guess if he'd been in church, I think he said he'd been in church. I guess they never pulled out a King James Bible where he was at. Guess he'd never heard from a King James Bible. But boy, I mean, you read through this book and you don't change it and you don't alter it and you don't add to it and you don't take away from it. You can see the expression of the writer. You can see the Lord from cover to cover, praise God. You can see Him from Genesis to Revelation. That's the way it should be in our life. I explained to him, that's the word thy, and it's used many times in the Bible. It's used many times in the old hymn books and the old songs. I mean, what kind of generation we got coming up, folks? I mean, Lord God, I mean, I know this is extra. I'm going to go ahead and just stop right here a while and preach my little pet peeve here for just a little bit. But I mean, what kind of generation are we raising? That they ain't even never heard from the King James Bible. They ain't never heard these old songs. They ain't never heard the songs of Zion. Hey, the next generation, folks, if we don't hold on to old time religion, the next generation, it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. I tell you what, we ought to thank God every day for a Bible-believing church. We ought to thank God every day for Gospel Way Baptist Church being an old-fashioned Bible preaching and singing the old songs of Zion. We ought to thank God for that and hold on to that, praise God. I'll tell you what, that just stirred me up. In fact, I'll tell you what, going through high school, I can remember them talking about that. We're going to read Macbeth. We're going to read Romeo and Juliet. We're going to read this stuff like that. I didn't have a problem with it. I'd been reading the these and the thous in the King James Bible. Amen. Everybody said, listen, what's this thee and thou and stuff and all this bunch of stuff? And hey, if you've been in your Bible, it'd been all right. You could understand the old King's English. You could understand some of the Elizabethan age when our language actually had reached its peak. You want the gutter language of today? You can find it in some Bibles. Amen. And while I'm here, I'm just going to run this rabbit trail and just finish off, all right? Just hold on with me just a little bit. Hey, I'll never forget up in West Virginia one time we was visiting and this man was telling me about this lady. So I'd just love for you to go meet her. It's a dear saint of God. And she just read through the Bible many, many times. She's read through the Bible over and over again. She's read through the Word of God. And I said, man, that's a blessing. Man, I was encouraged to go see her. And, man, she said that after we got there. So we got to talking a little bit, and she said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I've read through the Bible many times. I've read through a lot of different versions. Boy, when she said that, I said, uh-oh. She said, I really like this one I'm going through now. She said, I'm going through the Reader's Digest version. I said, Lord help. And then she said, man, and before that I finished up the Living Bible. Man, I tell you what, by that time I'd done had enough. By that time I was ready to just go ahead and talk to her a little bit. And I said, well, you know, I'm encouraged that you read through the Word of God and everything, but you ought to stick with that old King James Bible. You ought to stick with that old 1611 King James Bible. And I said, well, actually, before I said that, when she said that Living Bible, the first thing I said after that, I remember exactly what I said right after that. She said she read that Living Bible. I said, how'd you enjoy the cuss words in it? She said, do what? I said, pick it up and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 30 and read it out loud. In fact, never mind. I don't like people cussing in front of me. Don't read it out loud. And boy, she looked at that and she said, my goodness. I didn't know that was in there. She must have missed that verse, didn't she, the first time she ran through her. Amen. I don't care nothing about no Bible that's got an SOB in it. They changed it in some of the kids' Bibles. It don't have it, but it's down in the margin. You know, they changed it to something else. Son of a gun or something. I don't know what. But... I mean, it's just a bunch of garbage. You know what? You know what that was? In fact, that man, last I heard, that man's in an insane asylum. His mind completely went because the book says, you mess and you add to and you take away, and God will add to you the plagues in the Bible. God will take away from you your name out of the book of life. That's pretty rough, ain't it? But nevertheless, like I said, I was encouraged till I got to that point. And I hope I was a help to her, to show her, hey, you need to just get back to the old Bible. Amen. You need to get back to the old 1611 King James Bible, God's Word. But think about it. I mean, there's an expression of the Lord. There's an expression of Christ that comes out in the Bible. And I don't want to see it watered down. I don't want to see it hindered. I don't want to see it taken away from. Don't want to see it added to.
I like that preaching, brother.
You know what? It ought to be that way in our life. It ought to be in that way in our lives that people can see Jesus in us, that people can see the Lord in us, people can have that see that testimony of the good things that God has done and will do in their lives. Not only that, but think about it, it's a letter bears the signature of the writer. Letter bears the signature of the writer. At the end of it, the writer will sign his name there. Or he'll put a little salutation in it. And his signature. He'll put his signature there on the letter. I guess that's one thing that they kind of add in on that email stuff. Most email accounts that you have, you can add a signature. You can go into your account and you can add a signature. You can add, you know, yours in Christ or something like that. Or you can add scripture on there. I do that. I've got to, from the church email, it says in his service and my name and then a verse of scripture there. That you can add in the signature line in closing, if you will. Well, I tell you what, the signature ought to be the Lord upon our heart. It ought to be Christ upon our heart and on our life. People ought to see Jesus in us. It ought to express that writer. And they ought to see that the Lord is the one. You know, I heard a song along this line that said, the Lord is the one that rewrote the story of my life. You see, it was headed in one direction. It was headed in the wrong direction, if you will. But the Lord says, I'm going to take that paper and I'm going to wipe the slate clean. I'm going to take that paper and I'm going to do away with that. And now on that prepared heart, I'm going to start writing the story that folks need to hear.
Amen.
I'm going to start writing the story. And all along the way, I'm going to sign it. Praise God, I'm going to sign it. Can the Lord put His little stamp of approval? Can He put His initials on that paragraph for your life? Can he put his initials beside that paragraph? Boy, that's a going good right there. And I'll put my stamp of approval on that. He should be able to. We ought to be those living epistles. The Bible says in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The Lord's signed off on my life. He's beginning to show himself through me. Ain't that a blessing? Then not only that, Fourthly, let me say that the letter, we're talking about a letter, an epistle, the letter should be legible. Amen? A letter should be legible. Folks ought to be able to read it. I'm afraid those some professing Christians, it's difficult to make out what they're trying to say. Amen. Some professing Christians, it's difficult to make out what their letters are saying. Some professing Christians, the letters are so badly written, the letters are so badly formed, it's nearly impossible to read the message. It's nearly impossible to see the message that should be there. You think about it. Folks need to be seeing the right message out of our lives. Somebody said this has been preached and said and talked about, and we've prayed about this, and it's been prayer request a lot of times that we'll let our light shine and we'll be that witness we ought to be, that folks would see Jesus in us in this dark world. Well, I say amen to that. Praise God. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God has said, hey, I want folks to see it. I want it to be legible in your life. I want folks to not have to wonder and guess about you and try to figure you out. They ought to see you're living for Jesus. They ought to see you're walking for the Lord. They ought to see you have a personal testimony. They ought to see the Lord's signature on your life. We say, preacher, it ain't that way sometimes. Well, fix it up. Amen. Fix it up. Praise God. Fix it. Get things right. Get it where folks can read and understand and see Jesus in your life. That's what it's all about, folks. Hey, we're not leading folks to heaven. We're leading them to hell. We're leading them in the wrong direction. But we ought to be that living epistle, praise God. That folks, I mean, it's not that it's unlegible, but they can see it. And they can read it. And the message is clear. And they're hearing the message from what we do. The stand that we take. Thank God for those that graduate. And I never did even realize until I began to see some of the different ones. I think maybe looking through an annual too. How many different folks I knew from Cherville that graduated this year. And we've seen them all walk across and everything. Was able to be there yesterday for the graduation at 9 o'clock in the burning hot sun. And but anyhow, seen them come across. And, you know, think about, you know, folks is looking at our lives no matter how young we are. And oh, how teenagers can influence another teenager and how they influence others. And that influence has been a lot stronger there in the high school years, and a lot stronger there. And now they're starting to branch off on their own. They're starting to go in some different directions now. How are they going to allow folks to influence their lives now? What are they going to do now? Hey, would to God that they'd say, hey, I'm going to stand for Jesus. I'm going to stand for the Lord. I'm going to let the Lord write the story of my life, not somebody else, not some friend, not some pressure from a school. It ought to be that we're letting the Lord, that message be clear before the Lord. Think about old Peter and John. Lord God, and they stepped out of for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see Him with that boldness in the New Testament. We see Him in the boldness in the book of Acts. After that, they're filled with the Holy Ghost, and we see the boldness of them. Man, there wasn't no question where they stood. There wasn't no question about the message. You could read it. It was legible. You could understand what they were trying to proclaim. Bible says, in fact, let me give you this verse. The Bible says in Acts 4:13, it says, now when we saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. There wasn't no question about it. Man, I mean, the message was clear in their life. Look at them fellas. In fact, they said, I don't even understand it. These guys ain't too smart. Amen. These guys don't have much of an education. These guys right here, they probably didn't graduate. Hey, here they are, though, they've got that bold testimony for the Lord. Here they are talking about Christ. Here they are with a message. And man, they look at them and say, man, They must have got around Jesus. They must have got around the Lord. We can see that message clear in their life. Folks ought to see that message clear in our life. We're living epistles. Amen. Praise God. Well, I ain't got but 5 or 6 more points and we'll be done. Boy, and some folks are just sitting there with amazement. Hey, man, you're marveling at that statement, aren't you? No, I ain't got but a couple more. Let me give you this, and boy, this will help us. A letter should be free of blots. I had never thought about this, but you know, a lot of times, if you just look at something and one of the first things you can see, if there's a big mistake, that's the first thing your eyes are going to go to in a letter. I mean, you know, maybe they've, in the old days, it'd be the old typewriter, you know, bang, 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 and they hit that wrong there, and they erased it and put another letter there, and you can see it clear as day. They should have ripped it up and started all over. Thank God for computers, amen. In fact, thank God for spell check, amen. Only problem I have sometimes is the computer figuring out what kind of word I'm trying to spell. But you go through there and you type those letters and it gets later, the words get straightened out and everything. And, you know, you just go right on. I mean, there's so many times I get them, and I forget which one's which, but I'll get a red line under this and a green line under that and all this stuff you got to work on. Get that thing right. But anyhow, the first thing you'd see, though, is those mistakes. If there's a blot on the letter, it'll be the first thing you'll notice. The faults in that letter will be seen clearly. They'll stick out like a sore thumb. That's the reason it's important for us, amen, to get things right in our life and our heart. Like we were talking about this morning, praise God, dedicating our lives to God, living for the Lord, praying and asking God to take care of known sin in our life. And there's some sins of omission that sometimes we need to be praying about. Not necessarily sins of commission, that's things that you've committed, but sometimes we sin because we failed to do some things. And we need to get those things right with the Lord. But I want to tell you this. The blots, in this case, is not the writer's doing. It's our fault. The Lord's doing a perfect work. The Lord's going to do a perfect work if we'll yield to Him. The Bible says in Psalms 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The Lord's word, the Lord's work is perfect in our life. If there's a blot, it's on their part. But thanks be to God that there is a blot eraser. Amen. There is a way to get those blots straightened out and taken care of. I'll never forget, I had a deacon up in West Virginia that, man, I mean, he quoted this verse of Scripture. He knew it frontwards and backwards. And I don't know if he had a rough time with some things in his life. I don't know. But I'm thankful for God's Word. I'm thankful for every verse. I'm thankful for the promises of God's Word. But he held on this verse over and over again. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Ain't it a blessing that when we've done wrong, when we've transgressed against God, there's still a God in heaven that's willing and able to forgive us of our sin? He's faithful and just. When we're unfaithful, He's faithful to forgive us of our sin. Done that God many times, he'd quote that Scripture and he'd hold on to it. And we can do that. The Bible says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Thank God there's a blot eraser. We have some faults and failures and we miss and we mess up and we fall. But the Bible says a just man falls 7 times, but he gets back up, praise God. There's a blood eraser that we can trust in the Lord to forgive us of our sins. Hey man, you got a little problem with the letter. You got a little problem with your paragraph. You let the Lord get a hold of it. You let the Lord work on it and erase some things and work on some things in your life. And it'll be just as good as new. It'll be just good. Man, it'll be fixed up right. It'll be wrote right. Written right. Spoke right and everything else. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for that. Let me give you this and last of all. Some of these you say, preacher, some of these just going together. Well, last of all, let me give you this. And the letter's known, though. Last of all, it's known by its handwriting. It's known by its handwriting. The Bible tells us in the book of Daniel about old Nebuchadnezzar, and there was a time that he seen God write on the wall. And when he seen God, he didn't see all of God, but he seen his hand. He seen the hand of God come down and begin to write on the wall. And the Bible says, man, his knees begin to shake. I mean, he began to tremble as he seen God write on the wall. And he didn't even understand, know what God was talking about yet. God sent the prophet Daniel to come by and tell him what the message was. But he seen the handwriting on the wall. He seen the handwriting. It was recognized that it was the handwriting of God. It was recognized that God was trying to speak to him in his life. Amen. How many times do we need to say we need to see the handwriting on the wall? Amen. But sometimes, for some Christians, the question is asked like the Lord asked the question when they asked him about the coin. They brought the coin there. Had the superscription of Caesar on there. He said, he asked the question, whose image and superscription is this? Boy, I hope they ain't seeing that, but I hope the handwriting's plain on our life. Like God writing it up there on the wall. Like God writing on our heart. I hope it ain't like the question that's asked, whose image, whose superscription is this? I don't understand that handwriting. I don't see it. But boy, if they can see Jesus, it'll be all right, won't it? If they can see Jesus in our life. But there's another type of handwriting, though. Let me close with this. There's another handwriting that Christ will not own up to, that Christ will not put His stamp of approval on. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." There's a handwriting of a false professor. There's a handwriting of a hypocrite that the Lord says, no, I haven't wrote the life story in his life. He hasn't never turned his life over to me. I haven't had the opportunity to wipe the slate clean. I haven't had the opportunity to start on a new page and write a paragraph from the church to the world. You think about it, the Scripture says we're that epistles written and read of all men. I feel like I preached from my text and never did get back to it, but we've been on this thought all along. But he says, your epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. What are folks reading if they're reading that paragraph of your life, if they're reading that testimony, that epistle of your life? Ask Brother Will to come around with a song. The invitation, the Lord knows your heart. Won't you obey God tonight? I trust we just keep on.